Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God for another day. This is a day the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I hope you're rejoicing in it this day too. Amen. Giving honor to Christ who is the head of my life. Thanking God for another day, a training day, a blessed day, a good day. This is a day that the Lord has made. You know, I thank God last week we had a little technical difficulties, which to me indicated that what I'm about to teach on, begin to teach on, because it's important. I expect battles from Satan. I mean, I attack him. That is what you're doing when you pray. You attack him. If you have an understanding about prayer, you're attacking him. And he's not a nice guy. But amen. Grateful to be back here. Let us go before the throne of grace. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We do thank you that you have paid such a marvelous, magnificent price for this opportunity with the blood of your own Son. We thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made for the washing of our sins through your blood. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, amen, to lead us and guide us and comfort us and teach us and educate us. Father God, we're asking right now that you continue to bless each and every heart that is listening, blessing each and every family that is being representative here. Lord, that you would strengthen each one in might in their inner man, Lord, that you would bless each one of us with the spirit of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will more know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you have made available to us. Father God, I ask that you would bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the courage, amen, and the wisdom to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work that is acceptable to you, and bless us to grow in the knowledge of you in Jesus' name. You know, my intention, which it is, you know, as I said, I follow the direction of the Holy Spirit, and as I go, as I do this, you know, I was really doing a kind of a walk through the Bible when I began, because, like I said, my objective is to enlighten, particularly the millennials and Generation Z, because sadly, when you talk to some of them, they come from households where God is not spoken of, and if he is, you know, it's really amazing that, you know, I'm 69, and I come from an era where on Sunday, just about every house, somebody went somewhere to church, and everybody believed in God. And except for, you know, I know this one family that didn't, at least they say they didn't, but that got turned around. And, you know, and so it's really unusual to have evolved back to that state. But, you know, Jesus said one of the signs of the last days would be such as it was in the days of Noah. And during that time period, just before the flood, man had I guess you would say devolved into a more primitive state, because his reasoning was typical human, you know, and that's what the issue is. When you're going to deal with Christianity, you can't deal with it as a religion and get accuracy, and you cannot deal with it from the perspective of how men think, because men are extremely limited. As much as they like to think they know all and they the end all, the be all, with the little bit of stuff they have done, they are so far from the reality of what we are about, even though there's much revelation that we are so distant, that we really don't know a whole lot. When you talk about God, you know, I really like running into them highly educated people that say there is no God. I say, you're proof that there is one, because as smart and as intelligent as you are, you can't conceive him. And that's the truth about it. The terms that fit God, like eternal, that doesn't fit man, because man knows nothing of eternity. He hasn't experienced it yet. He don't know it in that fashion. The depth of this is just beyond him, and the only way you can get it is through revelation from God. God is all about revelation. You know, I mean, you can't have this relationship. It's a struggle, real struggle, trying to be religious. I've seen, you know, we got like 900. I had a book. I don't know what happened to it. It's called The Handbook of Denomination. And it had a list, and it really blew my mind because it had 900 variations of just Christianity. Okay? And I'm like, why? You know, when you read the Bible, you just see the word Christian three times. What you see, the only message preached in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, by Jesus and by the apostles, is the kingdom of God. It's all been about the kingdom of God. What's going to be eternal? The kingdom of God. Everything you see before you is temporary. It's all going to be at the end of the millennial period, this earth. That's when the world, people talk about the world coming to an end. The world is not coming to an end. What's coming to an end is the era of the church. The church age is coming to an end. The preaching of the gospel is coming to an end. That's what's coming to an end. If you don't get in then, listen, you know, it's people that think, I know it's going to be some survivors of the tribulation. That's obvious because it's in the Bible. That settles it for me. And like I said, I have a relationship with God that's ongoing daily. So, you know, and then, you know, it's established in the Word. Bible's the only book that dares to look off into the future and speak it, and it come to pass. They spent, you know, it's really amazing for people, you know, some things I don't because I read the whole Bible and I didn't see nothing about life on other planets. I don't believe there's human life on other planets. If there's any life on another planet, it's probably saints of God that have already died that's visiting and hanging out there, but they don't come to Earth to visit, okay? They don't fly in spaceships. They don't need them. If you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when Jesus left, 1:10. We read the whole chapter. You need to read it anyway. But anyway, when Jesus left, he did not call for a spaceship or angels to lift him up. He just floated on up into space. He just floated on up into another dimension. This is my whole point. This is what Training Day is about, is to enlighten people into the reality that God is preparing us for a level of authority and power that we can't comprehend. And one way to help you begin to see how much authority you have and how much power is prayer. Prayer is not a religious ritual. You know, you really have, with the Bible, with God, you really have to spend time with him. You know, you got to get the revelation. You can only get it from him. But it all... The one thing about it is that the Bible is so on the outside it seems like it's just all mixed up, but it is well coordinated because it's coordinated to achieve God's objective. It's not designed to entertain you. It's not just a history book. It's a history of reality book. That's a big difference because at the end of the day, like I said, everything you know now, going to be gone, mainly because we won't need it. Okay, during the 1,000-year period, the survivors and those born during the 1,000 years will need this stuff, but we won't need it. You will be changed. What it says in Philippians 3:21, it says he's going to exchange our vile bodies, these failing bodies, these bodies that have all these aches and pains, and that you have to, again, that's another area. You have to deal with that. So I'm going to begin today with the rules of prayer. Now, you know, there's a passage in the Bible in 1 Peter. You know, when I came across it, I've read it many times, and just like, you know, I'm a typical person, you know, you go through the Bible. But as you get deeper in it, you begin to see things. I begin to ask questions. Why is this here? Why is this saying this? And then I ask God. You know, I've settled with a publisher I put a book through a publisher, and we come to a good deal on it. That was acceptable. I put it before prayer. I'm gonna tell you what moved me about them. Prayer. My publisher, the person I dealt with, offered prayer. You know, which is really, I think a lot about people. I think about praying people like most people think about athletes, because a praying person really understands the relationship between God and man. See, the saddest statistic, but is that 95% at best of Christians don't pray. Most of them don't have a clue. And that's really because, listen, you don't choose a church. First off, when you choose a church, you need to communicate with God about that, because you want to be where God is God. You know, you notice how they have denominations. The denomination is an attempt to democratize or make a democracy out of Christianity. There's no democracy. You don't have to accept everything that's written in the Word, but there's a consequence for not accepting, because it knows, the Word of God knows what is right, knows what will work. See, and right now what's going on, you know, I see people, and I understand it. Good. I understand the fact that California and Louisiana and Florida and Georgia and all them getting tore up right now. But you know why they're getting tore up? Because there's a person named Satan, and one of his subnames is Prince of the Power of the Air. Now, they have authority, the Christians. And thank God it don't even take all of them, but it takes enough. God stacked the odds in our favor, okay? As we go through this, I will show you how that worked again. And I put this thing through the test. And the reason I understand these rules I'm going to give you aren't all of the rules, but it's enough of them. It's like the Ten Commandments. You know, Jesus gave you two commandments that really can help you succeed in following all 1,500 of them. Yes, it's 1,500 commandments. Every time the Bible tells you to do something and don't give you an option, it's called a commandment. It's plain and simple. But I'm sure my brother has some teachings on statutes and commandments, so you understand the difference. But the reality is, You really need to understand that you don't get, you know, it's nice to think that you have control, but you have so limited control, and you really will only have as much control as you get by following the Word of God. Like I said, the plan you following now, if it ain't God's plan, it's temporary. As good as it seems, you don't have no guarantee. God is not obligated to bless your mess or whatever you're coming up with or your plan. See? Your will might not be his will. Your will may be his will. But the only way you're going to know that, you have to be able to communicate with him. See? Now, so what we're talking about here is prayer. Now, what we're talking about here, here I want to read this quickly in 1 Peter. It says, well, I'm going to start with verse 4. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, that's Jesus, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, then I'm going to drop down to verse 9, but you are a chosen people. I've heard that a lot. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I know that sounds, on the outside, for some people, sound like a bunch of religious stuff. Okay, but it's not. It's telling you, basically, you have to understand what he's talking about, you have to go back and look at the typology, of the priesthood, which would be the Old Testament. We're not going to do that today, okay? Maybe I'll do that next time, but, you know, I'm not running this. I'm just passing on what God give me as he give it to me, okay? But the priesthood, what I want to get to you, one rule you need to understand, everybody can't pray. Everybody can't intercede. God has no obligation to everybody. I know people think he do, but he don't. Even though he put man in charge, things changed when Jesus went to the cross, okay? Everybody born under the blood of Jesus, everybody born into Christ, everybody born again, everybody washed in the blood, everybody filled with the Spirit, everybody that's in Christ, they are the only priesthood that God recognized. Now, I know there's some organizations that started their own little priesthood, and I get that, but that, you know, that ain't what this is talking about. God didn't tell somebody to start an organization here. Okay, that wasn't some great revelation for them to start an organization. That's talking about you if you've received Christ. That's a segregated group of people, see? So you can't, like I said, I see people a lot of times, and this is the deep part is, you know, to meet somebody that say they tried Christ, never received Christ, try to do the things that the Bible say you can do and fail at it, then they want to put Christianity down. Oh, I've actually talked to people, if you're not a Christian, the word Christian is an identity of a person in the royal priesthood. That's a person that have received Christ. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. Being a good person don't make you a Christian. This is not governmental. This is not constitutional. You don't get to vote on this. That's just the way it is, okay? It is. I mean, the fact of the matter is. And the thing about it, both sides agree. God agree and Satan agree. Satan already know, okay? There's situations in the Bible where, in Acts chapter 19, where some people thinking their religion and could get them gave them the authority that they saw witnessed or experienced by Christians. And the demon ran them, beat them out of their clothes. Beat them out of their clothes. Beat them naked. Bible says they ran into the streets naked. You don't mess with the devil. Listen, you think you got the real goods? Run into a real demon. He will let you know you ain't got the goods. You know, I don't watch a lot of horror movies. I don't really at all because they kind of dumb to me, you know what I mean? But anyway, this particular one was, I guess, it was a new Dracula. And this dude was ugly as all get out. And so the priest held up a cross, you know, back when they started this Dracula stuff way back in the 50s, the cross. He held up the cross and Dracula would back up. But this particular Dracula was bad. This dude grabbed the cross, broke it, told him, said, "You ain't got no power." See, that's the real world. That's the real world. If you don't have no power, you'll find out when you try to use it and you don't get done. And you got to understand, there are some aspects of dealing with certain battles, you will not only need your power, you will need some backup. Because you're limited, okay? You really are. You have access to the power of God, but there's a system that God set it up. For instance, when one person pray, that's 1,000-fold. When two people pray, that's 10,000-fold. When three people pray, that's 100,000-fold. When four people pray over one inch, that's 1,000,000. That's how the system works, okay? See, so there are things that you have to know about prayer because people fail at prayer and then they blame God. And God don't fail. I went through that process. I'm like, wait a minute, God, this ain't working. See, but now, again, like I say, the Bible is 66 books. People talk about they lost some books of the Bible. I would not serve a God that couldn't keep up with his books. What I need with a senile God? He can't keep up with his books. How he don't keep up with his? Please, seriously, you know how dumb that sounds? And most people that are looking for the lost books ain't never read the found books. That really amazed me. I get 100% whenever I ask somebody that's looking for the lost book, have you read the found books? And they say, no, well, read the fine one. Then you know, what you want is what's going to get the job done, okay? Number one, you got to be in Christ. You do. I mean, that's just the way it is. Number two, we're going to go to Mark, familiar scripture, for most Christians. Chapter 11, verse 23 to 24. Yeah, we're going to read 24. we're going to read 24. Mark 11, 24, 25, 26. And if you got a Bible, but it's depending on it's in red. Whenever you see red writing, as Jesus talking. This is one right here. I never had a problem with. Jesus is talking about prayer and confession, but I'm not going to get into that deep right now. But this rule here is you can't have anything. It said, therefore, verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught, and the word aught mean anything, against anybody, or against anyone, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive your trespasses. Now, in the King James, it has in verse 26, in the NIV, it's blank. And apparently they didn't think that was important. Now, you tell me. Now, verse 26 says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Now, I don't know about you, but I always, some point in time, through time and history, I've gotten a lot better. But at some point in time, you're going to need to be forgiven. And when you are out of fellowship with God, if you go continually without repentance, you are open for attack by the devil. And he legally can block the angels that are working on solving your issue. He can block that effort. Now, you really got to understand that this is clear, because see, the issue is when you are in sin, God will not hear you. That's just the way it is. I'm just going through these right now. We're gonna go back and go into detail on them. Okay. Another next rule, number three, is you can't practice sin. Now, please understand, when you read it in the King James Version and you see that T-H behind the word, that T-H means it has continuity. That basically is an act without end, no repentance, okay? That is not, if you like me, if I do something and I know I'm doing something and I did something stupid, I immediately ask God for forgiveness. And listen, don't get tired of asking. If it's the same dumb thing, if it's just one, two things, don't get tired of asking God for forgiveness. But do ask him how to resolve it. You know, what you will see over time is that some issues will get a time gap in between them. See, this is a complex situation. It's not simple. If you try to make it simple, you're gonna have a challenged life, a really challenged life. And it's enough as it is, but understand the reasoning behind this is about learning to be continually, consistently submissive to God under any situation, under every level of pressure. That's the kicker here. I mean, when you think about this, what Jesus just said, people can do some stuff to you. Now, he is not saying, and I keep going over this. I've listened to this. I've done this message before, and I noticed that three times I listened to it, and I always go back to this point. That does not, ladies, and in some cases men, that does not mean you need to live or have to live, stay with an abuse, physically or even verbally abusive person. Now, that's not my opinion, because of the simple fact, one, God gives no justification for hitting a woman, none. Not God, not from God. That's God's daughter. And I'll tell you what, if you're in that situation, if you're in Christ, command angels over your household. Command a thousand legions can't command one. You need an army. See, you gotta do that. That's another whole issue of level. But for now, that'll do. Okay, trust me, I've been there, done that. I've had to defend myself against people that wanted to murder me. You know, not a, my wife ain't abusive. She's so gentle. She's so gentle. She's just too gentle for me. But see, that's where I learned this from, because God got on me once. And I hadn't really did nothing, but I was getting ready to. And I seen a set of angry eyes. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Because in my mind, I'm looking at all this other stuff. See, I'm looking at, you know, I mean, come on now. My wife, you know, like y'all know y'all women, y'all like to steal our ink pens. See, that bugs me when you take my ink pen. You're taking something, you know. I don't care if it's in the house. It's my ink pen. But when I talk about seeing God, he impresses in your spirit what he is thinking and what he is seeing, and you get to interpret that. That's a powerful thing if you can get a revelation on that, because it'll help you understand God. He does things the way he does because of the submission factor. Okay? All of this comes back to the submission factor. What happened? Satan, when he was Lucifer, did not want to be submissive to God. That's it. You pick any situation where there's disobedience, where there's disruption, and you will find that factor. They don't want to be submissive. Everything that you look around is going on. People not wanting to pray. Listen, because we're in an era right now. Now, see, a lot of people are not under the don't listen to or they. The one thing I've learned, God still have prophets. And if you don't believe that, then that's because you haven't read the Bible. That's in Ephesians 4, chapter 11. He gave some apostles, prophets. God gave some people some gifts, some abilities for the perfecting of the church, okay? And teachers, just like teachers and pastors, you know. These are people that spend time with God. See, they don't walk around. Most prophets that I know don't walk around telling people they're prophets. You know, because they'll say things to come to pass. I know one. He always saying he ain't, and everything he say come to pass. I mean, with 100%. You know, I know somebody just, and there. If you submissive to God, if God think you're mature enough, he will let you walk in the prophetic office for a specific time period to accomplish something. That don't make you, that's kind of like, I guess I call it the 10-minute prophet, you know, just in, you just out. Because this is the other thing about prophets. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, prophets catch a lot of flack. They get attacked hard, okay? People call that, you know, that is not, listen, that's, you the higher up you get in this thing, the higher up you get, the more trouble you going to get. What is it? 2 Timothy says that 2 Timothy 3:12, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. It's going to come with the territory. It's going to come with the territory. You know, and that's part of the pact, because you see that we days away from doing the fruit of the spirit, but if you get it, it's in Galatians 5:22. If you look at it, they are responses to negative situations. See, that should tell you this is about you managing power that you already have. Now I can tell you right now, something don't ask for God. Don't ask for God for more faith. Believe me, you got enough. Ask him to teach you to use what you have, because if he give you more, faith is for operating in a zone where you only know one thing. God told you to, and you don't see no way possible for it to get done. So if you ask for more, he gonna put you in a deeper, tighter, more pressure situation, because you asked for it. I heard a message years ago, say, know what you ask for. That's one of the messages that burned in me. And I ain't never asked God for more faith, because trust me, what Jesus says was sufficient for the day is the trouble thereof. So you don't need to ask for more. You just need to, because you got God's faith. If you go back and read Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, that says have the faith of God. Have faith in God. Have faith in a relationship with God. Have faith having sat under God. Like, don't read the Bible, like a book of cliches. Read it. Take time. You read it. There's reading the Bible and then there's studying the Bible. Okay? So we're talking about you got to be in Christ. You can't hold nothing against anybody. Can't practice sin. I mean, come on. That's almost an easy one, really. I mean, come on, that's particular in a relationship. You're in a relationship with somebody. You can't just, they laid down some rules, and you can't constantly violate them and maintain that relationship. It's that simple. I've said before, the easiest way to live this life is to live it as a relationship to God, because you know what hurts people. You know what disturbs people. And that's just, any rule of God, any law, any commandment is not to put restraint on your life. It's for you to manage your life. Because when you start to manage, the local demon going to try to push you out of that, going to try to get you to disobey. When you try to obey, he's going to try to get you to disobey. That's what he do. The name Satan means adversary. So when you got a satanic spirit, group of them, and don't quit. If you lose a little battle, don't quit, because you ain't gonna lose the war. Okay, and you will get better at it. Trust me, you get better at it. Learn. It's about fighting the good fight of faith. Okay, so you got to be in Christ. You can't have nothing against anyone. You can't just walk in sin. I mean, like I said, that speaks for itself. If God is not, would you reward bad behavior? Would you reward disobedience? I don't think so. I don't know nobody that do, except maybe the government. Okay, another one. This is one. You have to control what you say concerning everything and everyone. And people so blatantly, lately, violate that one, not realizing it's a trick of the devil. You gotta be as James said, or what is it? Be vigilant. You gotta be vigilant, because Satan, he's not a roaring lion. You don't roar because he's sneaky. Really, he ain't gonna let you know he's coming, okay? But you must be vigilant. You must be vigilant, and more so that we are at the close, because all you gotta do is we just want to hang in to this thing, and we don't know when it's gonna be. We don't know. We know right now, and this. Listen, Jesus did say, no man, okay? He said, no man know the hour of the day. Now, but then he turned around and give you signs of that time, which means you'll know the season. He even said, when the fig leaves come on the tree, summer's near. You can tell the season. He said, such as it was in the days of Noah. This time in history is, even young people know this is different. It's new crazy. It's crazy at different levels. And it's growing. But you notice, I was watching this group, and they busy cussing out Jesus. Why? Why Jesus? Why not Muhammad? Why not Buddha? Because they don't want to be submissive to God. But that's typical. Because you probably got, I'm willing to bet, they are part of that group. There are two or three generations of a households without God. That's really incredible. That's really incredible. But I'm going to tell you another thing about that. That's primarily because the generation that was in the household of God was probably just religious and unbiblically uneducated. and probably didn't have a prayer life. See, those are some factors. My mother was a praying person. You know, you don't get it until you get a revelation of God. And that really tells you about your revelation of God. Because that praying is a commandment. Jesus said men ought to always pray and not faint. Now, he's not talking about doing like them guys that didn't shut themselves off from society and mumble some stuff all day long. That ain't what he's talking about. But he is talking about exercising the authority and the power that God gives you. There's a lot of situations that you can pray over and bring resolution. Doing that will encourage you. Right now, I'm praying for California to get rain, but I'm not just asking God to get rain, to make it rain. I don't live in California, and that's another thing about there's rules and laws about that. Okay, just like I can't when you're dealing with human beings, this is something to remember. I can pray. God is the word says God is not willing that any should perish, but we know also at the same time the majority ain't gonna make it. But that ain't God's will for them not to make it. If God gets his way, why can't God get his way? Because man is in charge. And it comes down from macro to micro. Okay, I'm in charge of my household. But I can't, it's even things, I can't, there are things I can't, you know, there's this period of time. Let me tell you something. This is another piece of history, dumb piece of history, the rule of thumb. If you ever heard the term rule of thumb, let me tell you where that come from. This was the early 1900s in America, that some judge that was out of his mind gave a rule that a man could beat his wife into submission with anything that wasn't wider than his thumb. That's where the rule of thumb come from. Man, I like sleeping at night. If I was to beat my wife with anything, y'all be going to my funeral. She'd be in jail, I'd be in the ground. No, but that's retarded. That's God's daughter, period. God told me that one time. He never had to repeat it. I didn't want him to have to repeat it, too. Okay, all this, bringing order in the household through prayer, it's all about submission to God. Thank you. Forgive me for that. We're going past our Father who art in heaven. If you need a car, what you gonna do? Say, our Father who art in heaven, does it be thy name, your kingdom come, show me the dealer to go to. No, you really just talk. When you got a request, make your petitions known. We'll get to that. You make your petition known to God. Like I said, there's different types of prayer. Intercession. See, there are some prayers that, well, there's a way that God answers prayer for unbelievers because he get a believer to allow him to minister to the unbeliever. I actually once complained to God about that he was making it hard for us to win them because he was blessing them, even though I was a person of the same. Because, listen, everybody that got saved because somebody that was saved prayed for him. Everybody that is saved got saved because somebody that was saved prayed for them. You just wake up with a brainstorm one day or a revelation and say, I need Jesus. No, that started with a battle of intercession by a saint of God. And a saint is not this super perfect person that does miracles. They read the Bible. It's cross-referencing the word saint. Saint means sanctified, submissive to God. Another word for submissive to God. Jumped up in one word. Okay. All right. So you got to control what you say. You really, humans, when God made the earth, he spoke it. He did not hire a construction company to make it. There's through this, you must understand. Remember, I've been telling you, if you've been following, or you can go online and listen to the earlier messages, man is a God-class creature. So therefore, when he speaks, that's what comes in his life. See, when you speak authority, the word of God, that's what comes to pass. But when you speak outside of the word of God, then Satan bring, or his, the local demon brings that to pass. So, it, you know, Hebrews 1:14 and says that ministering spirits, we'll get into, if you go to Daniel chapter 9 and 10, you'll see where angels come for the word of God, okay? You got to speak the word. You got to watch what you say. We're going to go over that. Jesus said, whatsoever thing when you pray, believe that you see say them. But he started out saying, when we talked about the mountain, whatsoever, let me read that. Mark 11:23, he said, verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, again, I know we read that and we say, well, yeah, we ain't seen no mountains move. Well, you know what? When I look at what people do, you know, at one time in America, they used to explode nuclear bombs monthly. Paying for that now. They used to explode nuclear bombs out in the desert. There ain't nobody out there. No, no. You spewing radiation into the air that's going to travel. And that stuff don't go nowhere. It stay right in our atmosphere. And they had to get, somebody had to prove to them that it was causing great problems. People got medical problems because of that today. Okay, so then there's the other issue. So these persons, that was, they figured, well, we'll put them underground. And it was exploding nuclear bombs underground. That's why the earth's so messed up. That's also why God going to have to exchange it at the end of the 1,000 years. I mean, you can't. So if Jesus is God, really let you utilize mountain moving powers, I guarantee you we would have intergalactic wars going on. If we could do everything that God is going to let us do, can do, without understanding who we are, what we are. Believe me, you look at what people are doing now. Look at how this world, you got nations sitting with poise trying to figure out how to start a nuclear war and not get shot and hurt back. That, and it's going to happen. World War III is in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Israel win. If you want to know what's going to happen, I can tell you Zechariah 14:12 said they're going to unleash a biological weapon that is so devastating that it will eat your flesh off your bone before your body hit the ground. That event has never happened. Okay, you reading the event that was written about 3,000 years ago, but that event has never happened. But it's going to, the Bible. Like I said, the Bible tells the future. They're going to have World War III. That's sad, but that's true. But now, our job is to delay that until we go. And that's what this prayer is about. See, again, Jesus says, say unto the mountain. Okay? So that's any situation. That's a part of it. So you can't pray and then speak opposite of what you believe in God for. And believe me, a demon will try to get you to say opposite. He'll use anybody he can to get you to say, they'll just tell you, that ain't logical, that don't make sense. Just keep your mouth shut. If you're going to say anything, say the word, say the promise, say what you're praying about. Just believe God. Because let me tell you about success. Success motivates you for more success. You know, that's just the way it is. It'll work, trust me. All right? So you got to control what you say. Next rule. Now, you may not think there's a connection here, but there's a definite connection. You have to be obedient and worship with tithes. You have to be obedient with worship with tithes. Now, note how I'm phrasing that, because that's what it is part of. Okay, going all the way back to the garden, going all the way back to Cain and Abel. It is where you acknowledge that God is the authority in your life, that you believe him as he is. You know, it's how do you tell an omniscient, omnipotent person that you can't? See, what now you got to look at the whole, let's you know, now, let me stay on this pattern. Let me stay on this path. You got to be on worship, not saying worship with tithes. You got to understand this. There's always a dual, I guess the best way to describe it is a dual effect. What you're doing on earth is being done in the heavens also. When you present tithes, when you talk about, let's go back. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. I guess I have to deal with this to some degree right now. You need to understand the process, because it says something. Think about it. You're only dealing with molecules anyway when you're talking about money. You're only dealing with molecules. We look at it and we think that it's actually something. It's something that we give value to that is greatly losing its value. But the principle behind it is it really shows God what you will do with full power. Because it's that's something that has been illustrated throughout history. The level of idolatry that exists, that is growing, it's really just amazing. Because it definitely shows that you're not dependent on God. And if you don't want to be dependent on him, you're not going to be submissive. That's where the problem. You will find that continuity. And if God doesn't see you as a person that's submissive to him, listen, you that's really risky. Because you don't get you don't get like 30 years in hell and then you out, 30 days and you out. That's forever. That's because God will not allow you to be in the universe with power, with the level of power we're talking about. When you look at all the things that Jesus did, you got to look at them from a different perspective, because when you think about it, if you know a scientist, if you know somebody that's into understand how energy works, they will show you, tell you some things about what Jesus did that are astounding. You know, one such person was the late Chuck Missler. Beyond Space and Time, I believe, is the video. And it goes over people's head because they can't perceive it. But yet and still, if you've ever seen a dead body that's been dead to the point that it turns to dust, think about that. Once upon a time, it was inhabited. And when there was an inhabitant in there, that person controlled all those dead cells. They empowered all those dead cells, just like you are doing now. Think about it. Your whole body, which you think is a solid mass, actually, under a microscope, is all independent cells. Not only independent cells, but a variety, a large variety of types of cells doing different functions at the same time at a level so small that you need a microscope to witness it. You're commanding all that. When you open and close your hand, there's 10 million signals that you have to send to all those cells to do what you want them to do. And we've seen what happens when people are unable to do that. Think about that. If you magnify that power, because outside of your body, it immediately becomes magnified. God designed us to set these limitations. So this principle here is major. This is, like I say, so it's about submission. People that tithe are submissive to God. even though God, he don't have to offer no promise. He didn't have, that promise came in Malachi. He don't need to. He don't have to. He didn't have to tie himself to that. Did I say go to Malachi? No, I said go to Hebrews chapter 7. It says that, let me make sure, I want to, because I want you to get this activity. See, now I start out, now I have a big debate going on about Melchizedek. So anyway, it says in verse 4, it says, "Not consider how great this man was," talking about Melchizedek, "whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils." That says something right there. "And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of the brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he who is the son is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham, and bless him that had the promises. And without contradiction, the less is blessed, the better." Now, verse 8, Hebrews 7, 8, remember this, because it's here men that die receive tithes, but there, talking about heaven, he, talking about Jesus, receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. Now, again, you know, this is amazing. The English are thought of as these elite educated people, you know, for the most part. When you think of an English person, you think of a proper speaking person. Yet, but you know what catches my attention is that where it speaks of a deity, they don't capitalize it only unless it says God or Lord or Jesus. But he, when they use he and him, they don't capitalize it. Now, you know, I had a book coming out, and one of the things I did in my book, everywhere that it speaks of a deity is capitalized, so you will know that I'm speaking of a deity. So you don't make no mistake and think I'm just talking about somebody. But here, look at what this is saying right now. Here, men that die, because it's describing the tithe. And this particular incident, of the tithe with Abraham to Melchizedek, it's some 500 years before God gave Moses the law. So it's not a law issue. Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel because of this issue. It's not a law issue. It's a I'm submissive to God issue. That is really that deep. But the activity is recorded. I gotta keep on going with this. I just would really, I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna give it another 10 minutes anyway, because I want you to get these rules. You got these rules, okay? You got these wrote down. You got to be in Christ. You can't have anything against anyone. You can't practice sin. Practice. That ain't mean you ain't. Listen, if you think you're going to be sinless, it says, amen, say you have no sin, he called God a liar. So you're going to get tripped because there's a devil. Until God locked the devil up, it's going to happen. You got to control what you say. You have to be obedient with tithes. You must participate in prayer for others than yourself. That's the love effect. That again speaks of submission. I mean, taking a few moments. There's so many. We have, you know, we don't have to. You don't have to spend hours praying. Even though my first prayer of the day is an hour, but that's usually 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, depending on when I wake up. I don't complain about waking up in the morning. I wake up in the morning. And if you're working, you're still in that work group. I'm no longer in the work group. If God wake you up to pray, he'll let you know. you should know, you know, because he got prayer going 24 hours a day. Now, and then if he do, then you lay back down. I don't care if it's for an hour. When you lay back down, Believe God, ask, request, rest. Lord God, I thank you as I lay down. I believe you to give me rest because you say you give your beloved sleep. And I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. That quick. Listen, I've been in my work life. I never would have worked tired when I did that. God is awesome. Okay. You must participate. Remember, I'm going to go up next week. I'm going to go over the next however long it takes. We're going to go in detail on it because it's throughout the Bible. It's not just one. It is what goes on in the Bible. It is what goes on is what don't go on. All that's in the Bible. Like I say, if I'm believing God for rain in California to stop the rain, but then they live there. There's a lot of issues there. They got to be some repentance going on. So people can't just be any old kind of way. People ain't got to be honest with what they say. They have got too big for their britches. That's one of them old school saying. And you need to be in pursuit of the will of God for your life. There's what's known as the permissive will. There's the divine will of God, and then there's the permissive will of God. And sadly, I'd say about 90% of us, me included, are operating in the permissive will because we weren't really taught these things. A lot of what these rules, what I'm telling you, I mean, I didn't know them for about the first 15 years of being a Christian. And I've been a Christian for 40 years. You know, I knew to pray, but I didn't, breaking down prayer, we're going to get into breaking down how do you put a prayer together with the Word of God and bring this thing to pass. Because, again, it is not just a ritualistic life. It's a life of submission, but it's designed for you to see that you do have power with God. They'll work together. When you see you have power with God, you become more submissive. When you become more of a submissive, you'll find you have more power with God. You have more success with God. And it makes you feel comfortable. You don't worry about if you get, listen, I tell you, when I don't know if I told y'all before, but I tell you again, when back in March 2017, they told me I had cancer. I'm like, that was like telling me I had the flu. Why? Because I put the same beating on that. I use the same principles that I used on flu, some of these same things. I used it on flu for years. He had flu, and I don't know when. I use that because what? It's just, listen, Psalm 103, he says, forgives all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. God don't lie. But there's some components. There's a growth process. God don't intend for you to be stagnant in your growth. So, right now, we're going to present an option for those that are having accomplished rule number one, and that's being in Christ. And there's only one way into Christ, and that's through Jesus. I mean, into God's family, that's through Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. His blood was shed. That's an awesome price that God paid for you to have it. And this is all it's going to take for you to become a part. You have to believe this. And you will receive this. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm lost. I confess to you that I was born in sin, and I ask you right now to forgive all my sins and to save my soul. I believe you with all my heart, and I thank you for it. And I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross, and I believe you were resurrected. And I ask right now that you would come into my heart and save me, and I thank you for it right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I hope you took notes. This will be passed. If you go to pastorode.com, it'll be posted on his website. And I have a website too now. I'm still working on it. It's a work in progress, but you will be able to access it. Millennial Kingdom Training, that's one word, millennialkingdomtraining.com. And you can also contact me by email with a new email address, 7trainingday@gmail.com. That's the number 7 trainingday ChristianLifeRadio@gmail.com. Send me your questions. When y'all send me questions, I will take the time to answer them. I have access to a lot of resources and a lot of people with a lot of information to answer, because God wants you to be successful. You know, my at my church, before the COVID-19, and even now they try to do it, because, you know, because of the way the situation is, a little challenge. But they would, after each service, the ministers would be held back until, just for the simple purpose of answering people's questions, offering prayer, and answering questions. Because, you know, just like I say, there's questions, particularly when you're new to this life. And even after you've been at a while, you have questions. And with that, I'm going to conclude, and hope to hear from you. See you next week. I'm working on some videos for YouTube. And keep in touch. Stay blessed and fight the good fight of faith. That's going to be my new tagline. Fight the good fight of faith. We don't have long. We don't have long. Amen.
It's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed, and you can reach any goal that you're trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the streets. No petty ish, my plug on that heavy ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming, just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight. You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up. Now I've been getting up from God about a year straight, and everything been smooth, yeah, I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah, I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me, and you can be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change, cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well, this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love.
That love, I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
Got many blessings and they from him above. Because
I got a heavenly plug. I got a heavenly plug.
I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why?
I found a heavenly plug. I found a heavenly plug.
Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust for you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.